Blog Talk Radio.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black, tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me. There's no place I can be since I found serenity. You can't take the sky from me.
Well, thank you. I will note that is the exact same thing my wife says to me whenever I come back early from the gym. I am inspired by each of you. We are fighting to save this country. Obamacare is the number one job killer in America. More and more Americans are losing their jobs because of Obamacare. More and more Americans are seeing their hours forcibly reduced to 29 hours a week. More and more Americans are seeing health insurance premiums skyrocket or losing health insurance altogether. And not a single American wants to have the federal government get in between us and our doctors. This thing ain't working. And President Obama is busy granting exemptions to all the favored groups in Washington. Giant corporations, they get an exception. Members of Congress, they get an exception. And now unions are saying they want an exception. Well, I got a simple question, Mr. President. How about an exception for hardworking American families? Now, I want to be brutally honest about this fight to defund Obamacare. If the traditional rules of Washington apply, we can't win. If the forums in which we have to make the case consist of the smoke-filled rooms in the U.S. Capitol, this fight is impossible. But I'm convinced the model has changed. I'm convinced there's a brand new paradigm in America, which is the rise of the grassroots. I can't win this fight. Mike Lee can't win this fight. Rand Paul can't win this fight. No elected politician in Washington can win this fight. Only you can win this fight. We've got 20 days between now and September 30th. You know, in just a few weeks, nearly 1.2 million Americans have gone to don'tfundit.com, have signed the national petition in just a few weeks. How do we win? It's very, very simple. In the next 20 days, we need millions more Americans to go to don'tfundit.com, to sign the national petition, to pick up the phones and call their senators, call their representatives, to go on Facebook and Twitter and put comments, and then I'm going to give a charge to each and every one of you. Between now and September 30th, I'm going to ask each of you to find 10 people to go to don'tfundit.com and sign that petition. It has to come from the people. If we see millions and millions of Americans standing up saying, save us from this train wreck, Washington will be forced to listen. Now, last night, stories emerged that some House Republicans are considering procedural tricks to let them vote on defunding Obamacare, and then to let Harry Reid strip it out and fund Obamacare. Let me ask y'all a question. Is an empty symbolic vote enough? Are tricks and games acceptable? You know what? It's abundantly clear here, and yet it's a little bit confusing in that building. Our elected officials need to hear from us. The wonderful thing about our Constitution is sovereignty is not vested in elected officials in Washington. Sovereignty resides in we, the people. The way we win this fight is simple. Between now and September 30th, if millions of the millions of Americans rise up, go to don'tfundit.com, demand that leaders stand up and hold every elected official accountable, including me, that's how we turn this around. That is how we transform this country. And I, again, want to close by how I opened, just saying, thank you. Every one of you inspires me. We are fighting to preserve liberty in this great United States of America. Thank you and God bless you.
This thing ain't working. And I'm not just talking about the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare, or maybe these days more properly, VaynerCare. This thing ain't working as in this GOP ain't working. Eric Cantor, John Boehner, John McCain, Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, the GOP ain't working. But there is a wing that's working their ass off. Mike Lee, Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, Justin Amash, Trey Gowdy. People are working in the GOP for conservatism. And now is the time to strike. Hashtag don't fund it. On Twitter. Go to www.don'tfundit.com right now. www.don'tfundobamacare.com right now. Sign the petition. Tweet it out. Put it on Facebook. This is part two in our special series in September to support this initiative, which is going to restore conservatism to the GOP and put an end to the welfare side of the welfare warfare state. The other side is obviously Syria, and we talk about that at our regular times, 10 p.m. Sundays. Don'tfundit.com. You are live with Tex and Rex. Irreverent, relevant, and radioactive conservatism with a bite. I'm your host, Rex, broadcasting to you from the Imperial City, home of the welfare warfare state and the most incompetent president ever imagined. And it was also home to the Exempt America rally this past Tuesday. You just heard from Senator Ted Cruz talking at the Exempt America rally. And much to the progressives' chagrin, the demise of the Tea Party is wrong. It appears that for a while there, they were appropriated, they were infiltrated, they were Karl Roved and Mitt Romneyfied. But this initiative by Ted Cruz and Rand Paul and Mike Lee has brought the Tea Party back. And not just the Tea Party, Liberty Movement, AFL-CIO, Delta Airlines, UPS, the list goes on and on. Don'tfundit.com. Tex is on special assignment in the Imperial City, but we are joined by none other than...
Captain
Caveman!
Supreme!
Chris, you're live with Rex. We're going to talk about Obamacare, but can you believe all the other stuff that's been going on with Putin, with Syria, everything else? We want to get that out of the way early?
I'm laughing my butt off on Syria. Oh, God, what a bunch of idiots, all of them. You know, Obama jumps out there, says some stuff in the news, and 3 weeks of this crap. It's been going on for 3 years. You know, it's just unbelievable. What a waste of time and energy in the middle of actually more important things, although Syria is very important, and not because it's Syria per se, but because of the implications and, you know, Iran, Russia, China, you know, all that's going on coming to a head in the Middle East. I mean, it is important in that aspect, but to America, and what we needed to be focused on was Obamacare, the debt ceiling. You got to be kidding me. NSA, IRS, Benghazi, and the other scandal that never even got to the news, which is even worse than Benghazi, and that was the extortion 17 in Afghanistan, that just never, it's just, you know, it's almost a container. There's only so much that people can handle. And you can't trust the mainstream media to stay on top of the important issues. So it takes people, and they just have been bombarded. I mean, I look at the last 6 months, and I'm just I can see why people are exhausted and probably potentially tuned out, and they need to be tuned in. Syria was easy, and the reason I say that is because if you're educated – and you follow it, and you know what you believe, then you just stand on those principles and stand on that information, and you validate it, you know, with your point of view and obviously with articles and things like that. You know, one of the ways I don't get overwhelmed is by digging in deep, understanding something, you know, figuring out what my view on it is, stand on that, and then report and communicate on it, and it doesn't get overwhelming. The only reason I think that people get overwhelmed is they don't stay tuned in. You know, they try to float around in the air and grab all the different events that are being thrown at them by the mainstream media or by the administration or by, you know, and the Republicans do it too. You know, they get you caught up in these things that don't matter, when there are very important things going on. The core of our society is being shaken. Obamacare is devastating. And what's amazing to me is that with Obamacare is that it's failing, and everybody knows it, and the Republicans are so busy infighting that in reality you've got all the ammunition you need from the right and the left, you know, whether it's the unions or, you know, Federal Express or, you know, I mean, the information's there, but it just seems like people can't consolidate the information and present the argument instead of it turning into a partisan argument. The real argument is there. It's devastating. It's failing. The administration has, 54 or 45 delays on aspects of the law since it was enacted?
At least.
I mean,
at least.
You know, and you don't even hear this crap. You hear it once, maybe twice in the news. And yet when you look at anything that's implemented, I mean, most laws get bad with time. This thing started out bad. It started out so bad that the people who wrote the damn law have delayed multiple aspects of it over the last several years, which shows you that it's an utter failure. And the argument is there to build on components of information like that. And yet the Republicans, instead of working together, they're killing themselves again. I mean, who is John
Boehner? Not the Republicans. Yeah, that guy.
Well, the leadership. Who is this guy? You know, you look at the last four and a half years of a John Boehner speakership, and you just go, you've got to be kidding me.
I'm sorry, that was John Boehner dialing in.
Yeah, calling in. Well, you know, you just have to look at the last four and a half years on every major issue that has faced this country, and that has, I mean, is major. This guy has folded on every one of them. And Cantor, who in the hell is Eric Cantor? I mean, sometimes I look at this, I look at the Republicans in the House, and I think, you got to be kidding me. I mean, Obama didn't need a Democratic control of the House. He got it, regardless of what you voted for. It's scary.
Well, those two guys, Boehner and Cantor, they belong to the Democrat wing of the Republican Party. I mean, the
if
crazy
that,
thing.
If
yeah,
that.
They're even worse. They're worse. And look, the simple fact is, and folks, make sure you check out part one of this conversation. We did that show last Thursday. It's available on the Tex and Rex show page on Blog Talk Radio. So just go to Blog Talk Radio, find the Tex and Rex show page, scroll down. All the shows are there. You can listen to them in your browser. You can listen to them in your mobile device. Right below the scrolling graphics is a download this episode link. Right click on that. You can download an MP3, burn a CD, give it to people at your Tea Party meetings, at your Campaign for Liberty meetings, at your Republican Party meetings, or wherever else you go, church meetings, doesn't matter. Just give it out. You can email people the MP3. Get people to listen, because this is vital information. We've got less than 3 weeks to get this done. It's very important that you go immediately to don'tfundit.com. That's one word, DONTFUNDIT.com, and sign the petition and tweet it out and put it on your Facebook page and email it to people and tell people about it and get other people to sign it. It is very, very vitally important. This isn't another showboat faux vote. This isn't one of the 40 votes they've had to defund it that wasn't going to go anywhere because Harry was going to unplug it. This is a real initiative. It's very important that you do that and get the show out there. Last week's show, which was, I believe, September, I don't remember, whatever, it was last Thursday. Just click on it. It's the same title as this one. This is part two. We talked about Obamacare and how bad it is, and we talked about the welfare warfare state. Today we're going to talk about this initiative and how it plays out and why it's important that Ted Cruz is leading on this. Now, Ted Cruz is a senator, so he's not in the House. The House Republicans are led by John Boehner. John Boehner is a useless piece of beef jerky. He's a pussy. He's an alcohol mind-numbed moron, and he's a shill for the state. He's not a conservative. He's barely a Republican. And Ohio, you need to get rid of this son of a bitch. He's destroying any chance of success for constitutional principles and conservatism. He's got to go. In the meantime, in addition to signing the petition, call Johnny Boehner. His phone number is 202-225-0600. That's 202-225-0600. Call him. Whoever answers the phone, or if you're leaving a voicemail, they don't really care what your opinion is. You don't have to go into a dissertation on how bad and why it's bad and what's wrong with it or whatever. They simply want to tally that you're against it. So you call them up and you tell them, don't fund Obamacare. If you want to fax him, his fax number is 202-225-5117. Eric Cantor, who's also part of the leadership, and he's a real sneaky son of a bitch, because he was trying to appease you this week, to fool you into thinking that they were going to do something about don't funding it while they handed all the power over to Harry Reid to keep it funded. That's the kind of bullcrap that the Republicans have been doing for so long, and you've been buying it, and that's precisely why Karl Rove shoved Romney up your ass in the last election, and you lost. You lost because Romney is not a Republican either. He's a liberal Democrat posing as a Republican. Cantor and Boehner are part of this. Quit falling for it. Eyes awake. Eyes wide open. Watch them. Only conservatives. Don't support rhinos. Eric Cantor is a big fucking rhino, and his phone number is 202-225-2815. Call him and tell him that. 202-225-2815. And if you want to fax him, 202-225-0011. Call your reps, too. And it doesn't hurt to give a shout-out to Rand Paul and Ted Cruz and Mike Lee and tell them you're in support of this. They store that data. And when they go out on the floor or when they're meeting with them in committee, they can tell them, I got 1,500 calls in the last hour telling me that they like what we're doing. How many did you get? Well, I got 800 calls that told me that not to fund it. Right. That's what happens. These numbers do matter. Get busy. Get other people involved. But the very simple fact is the Republicans have been doing this for so long, and you eat it up because they're just simply not Democrats. And you think, well, they suck and they're bad, but at least they're not as bad. Well, I think the Syria thing has proven that that's a bunch of horseshit. That's a bunch of horseshit. You've got people like Ron Paul and Dennis Kucinich united on this. You've got people from both parties going either way. You got Jihad Jane McHammed has got a hard-on for war and is pushing for it and doesn't even think that Obama's and Kerry's, what is it, infinitely small, really tiny pinprick strike or whatever the hell they called it, is enough, right? So this thing's blowing open, and the fact is that people have woken up. They're not buying the Syria thing. And that tells you that the media mind control is starting to break. People are starting to wise up. Some of them are just coming out of the fog, and they're a little confused that they don't know what's going on. Just like Chris said, the Syria thing is important, and it's not so much because it's about Syria, but it's about the fact that our president made the commander-in-chief look like a big pussy to the world. But that doesn't mean that America looks weak. We got champions like Ted Cruz and Rand Paul. They're standing up. Vladimir Putin wrote an op-ed today about Syria. You know, it was kind of a slap in the face. It was a well-played move, and I don't know if it's well-played because Vladimir Putin's that smart a guy or because Kerry and Obama are so friggin' incompetent that he just kind of walked into this diplomatic victory. But he also gave us a little, you know, sociopathic kind of slap in the face where he said that it's dangerous for people to think they're exceptional. Well, you know, so far I got to say that Vladimir Putin seems to be the level-headed adult in this situation. That doesn't mean he's our friend, but he's certainly not our enemy. And I don't know that I necessarily trust him as an ex-KGB guy, but I do trust that what he's doing is good for Russia. Let's keep in mind, he's the president of Russia. He's going to do what's good for Russia, and I think he's doing a good job there. Is he a committed Christian personally? I don't know the man, but I know that he's giving the faith, which was crushed by the Soviet Union, it's flourishing over there now. Whether, you know, that's just a propaganda technique or he's a genuine believer, I don't know. But I know that what he's doing is good for Russia, and he's a level-headed adult. But I take great exception with him telling me that we're not exceptional. Mr. Putin, we are exceptional. You're seeing why we're exceptional. You're seeing a commander-in-chief who is trying to push a war on behalf of the Saudis, the APEC lobby, and the Federal Reserve petrodollar fail. And not because he's a reluctant guy who doesn't want to go to war. He failed because the Constitution doesn't permit him to go without authorization of Congress, and he couldn't get the votes in Congress. Because Congress actually has some, but I don't really want to even get into that. But just the simple fact that he couldn't get Congress to authorize it, he backed away. He looks weak. But it proves that our Constitution works when we apply it. It proves that when you have actual representation, because for the most part we've been operating, especially in the Republican Party, with, you know, no representation without representation. We don't have representation. You elect these people, but they don't represent you. They just take the job and run with it. I mean, does John McCain represent Arizona? I don't think so. So Arizona, put him down. Does Lindsey Graham represent his state? No. Please, wake up, people down south. Put him away. He's being primaried right now. Push him out. Get rid of him. The guy's nuts. So we are exceptional because this is the only nation in history that was founded on a creed. And not a religious creed, it could be taken that way, but it's, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, property also, and the pursuit of happiness. That's a unique proposition in human history, which is why the Constitution has stood for so long. It's still the law of the land, but it doesn't mean anything if you don't apply it. But we just saw it applied. We stayed the hand of the statists' war. That doesn't mean they're not going to do it anyway. Doesn't mean they're not going to do some kind of false flag, send some sarin gas into Tel Aviv and blame it on Hezbollah and then say, now we have to strike Syria or something like that. They're probably going to do something like that. But it proves to you that the president can't just push us into war all by himself. And this imperial president has been doing all sorts of illegal things, not the least of which is this thing, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. This thing is a disaster. And it's not about health care. It's not about medical insurance. It's not about insurance reform. It's not about medical care. It is about taking over the economy. This is the domestic part of the foreign policy agenda where we are the imperial policemen of the world. And over here, it is about becoming a police state where your economic freedom is completely under government control, and therefore you don't have liberty. That's what it is about.
Well,
now, some people
every
say,
aspect,
go ahead.
Every aspect of your – no, I'm just going to say every aspect of your life, from your income, your personal information, your political information. I just don't understand why people, in the face of everything they've seen with the NSA and the IRS and all this other stuff, that they believe that that body, that governing body, is going to be fair with your health care. That shows you just how brain dead, you know, a big chunk of Americans are. That's just what blows me away. Is that anybody?
Well, they sold
the federal government. Yeah. Does anybody believe that the federal government is doing this because they care about you? You got to be kidding me.
Well, but that's how it's sold. You know, there's 33 million people, 52 million people, 47 million people that don't have any health insurance. Well, just because you don't have health insurance doesn't mean you don't have any health care. There are doctors who do, you know, procedures for free. But one of them is, this ophthalmologist from Kentucky. He actually, you know, performs eye surgery on people, doesn't charge them if they can't afford it. When he's in Kentucky, these days, he's too busy running around Washington, D.C. trying to stop us from blowing up another country and implement this horrible thing. His name's Dr. Rand Paul. So, you know, they sell you this meme that, you know, people are dying in the street from our terrible healthcare system, which is still the best in the world for now. And then, you know, you put this plan on it that's going to fix everything. Well, you know, all the poor people won't have insurance. What do you think Medicaid is? S-CHIPs and about a dozen other programs in most states that are available to, quote, poor people. And generally speaking, poor people make like 200% above whatever the poverty level is that the federal government designates. You know, poor people have health insurance. You go to an emergency room, no one turns you away. You're an illegal alien. You have no money. You have nothing. They don't turn you away. Right? So what is this about? This is about the middle class. This is about the bulk of America. This is about you. You know, if you like your health insurance, you can keep it. Really? There's 110,000 people at IBM just got written a check by IBM, and they said, hey, you know what, it's too expensive to insure you with the new rules, so go into the exchanges. Delta Airlines says it's going to cost them $100 million. Even the AFL-CIO is having trouble with this thing. Obama's actually trying to, you know, tell them, you guys really can't talk badly about Obamacare in public. It's become a PR nightmare for me. But it's not about that. It's about taking over the economy, because you might give somebody a subsidy and put them in the exchange with the health insurance, right? But then the employer, in order to not have these penalties and stuff, reduces their hours from 40 down to 29. So 11 hours of their work week just got cut. That's 26% of their income just got cut so that they can have the free health insurance. How the hell is that free? And the other question you have to ask yourselves, I mean, Chris, can you imagine if this thing is so good, right, and people are going to love it, especially when they see all the benefits, and once it comes online, everybody's going to like it. Why the hell do you need 16,000 armed IRS agents to enforce it?
Yeah, no kidding.
Just think about that.
I know. There are days when I just wonder how gullible the American people are. I mean, it's just, it's mind-boggling. And we don't even talk about the important things, you know, that are coming down the pike. You know, the Fed has $3.6 trillion on their balance sheet right now with the QE programs. I mean, you combine these two things, it's a disaster. I mean, we talk all the time. And there are days when it's just, you know, gathering information and processing that information. And then there are days when you just go, this ain't going to work. You know what I mean? The Fed, QE,
what's that
first, you know,
Ed?
Bailouts.
This thing ain't working.
And it ain't working. I mean, I'm like going, you know, and then I was watching the news tonight, and I'm watching them beat up on Putin all day because of his op-ed piece that he or, you know, somebody wrote for him or whatever the case may be. And I'm looking at this thing going, and I wonder how many people even follow G20. You know, I know that I posted about it because it's important, because it shows you what's going on the world economic platform with the top 20 countries in the world. And Russia held the G20 this year. And I'm like going, don't people understand this? The country that you were all proud of over a dozen years ago, you know, the unstoppable moral authority in the world, the U.S. of A, that system is so broken right now with the people that we have elected and allowed to be in power, you know what I mean, have run this country into the ground. And then the Fed, which is illegal anyway, but it's there, you know, since 1913, has been printing money, and they have a $3.6 trillion balance sheet right now on U.S. debt, $3.6 trillion on top of the trillions of dollars that we have in debt to countries of the world, including China, who, you know, who we are told every day is our enemy, and yet they produce most of our goods, our products, and they lend us next to Japan, who is at a 200% plus debt to GDP ratio. And you have to step back and, like, if you wrote all this out on a big board, you know, like a big erasable marker board, and just put it all out there, the wars, you know, the issues with terrorism, the economic, internal, external, you know, the debt. These idiots, while you've been talking about, or us have been talking about Syria, which is not even our problem, okay, for the last 3 weeks, we're getting ready to walk up to another $988 billion, okay, let's just call it $1 trillion debt ceiling increase. And we haven't even been talking about it. We've been focused on Syria, which is not our dictator and is Russia's ally and is not even a threat to our national security. And that's where we've had our nose. We've had our nose up Syria's butt while these idiots in power are getting ready. We've been talking about money and debt and economics for since before Bush left, when the crash occurred, has been the top leading issue. And if you poll people, it's still the top leading issue. You know, jobs are not recovering. I don't care what they spin in the damn news.
Lies.
Obamacare has been, what we're talking about, 45 different delays already, which is basically illegal for a president to do that. They're supposed to administer the laws that are handed them or, you know, that they sign. And yet our nose is up Syria's butt. And they're getting ready to add another $1 trillion to our debt. Who in the hell is going to give us that money? The only people with any money in this world are Russia and China, because they take care of their economics. So we're going to go into debt while our news spends all day, every day, bitching about Putin, bitching about, you know, how terrible Russia is, how terrible China is. But where in the hell are you going to get the $1 trillion, folks? The Fed is printing
Summer.
And buying $85 billion a month on this ongoing program at a $3.6 trillion balance sheet. It is so screwed up, and we talk about countries of the world like they're our enemies, and yet we're going to go to them with our hands out going, can you lend us some more money?
Yep.
I mean, is that insane? Rex, I'm like, are you kidding me? You can't make this
Chris,
shit up.
You're right. You can't make this shit up. I keep saying that. I've been saying that every day. It's just unbelievable. But it is insane unless you start thinking like a psychopath who intends on taking out the world's superpower, knowing full well that it can't be invaded until you're eroded from the inside. And that's what they're doing. This is about – so Syria is about taking us down. It is not about Syria. It's not about taking out Assad. It's about propping up Saudi Arabia, the AIPAC lobby, and the Federal Reserve – and taking out the United States. But to take out the United States, you also have to have some kind of system in place here to control people. And that's what this Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act is about. It's a friggin' Trojan horse. It's a Trojan horse that is designed to control your life, reduce your economic liberty, and implement a police state. Now, Rex, that's crazy conspiratorial stuff. This is just a health reform bill. No, it's not. It's got so many goodies in it and gives so much power to the executive. And it controls the very basic things. I mean, under this thing, they can control what you eat, so you'll get more Monsanto garbage and organic food will disappear. It can control whether you get a medical procedure or not, whether you get a medication or not. They control your life with this thing. And that's why these Republicans don't want to get rid of it, because they're not about reducing state power. They're merely about being the ones who control state power. So they don't want to take it away from Obama, because they're hoping that when they get their little Jeb Bush, Marco Rubio in there, they'll have control of this. That's all that the fight is about. That's why Cantor, that pussy, comes up with this thing called the plan, right? The plan. And you brought up the debt ceiling and the CR and all that. That's why they did this whole thing with Syria. I mean, not only is it on behalf of Saudi Arabia and Qatar, okay? But it's also a huge distraction from what they should have done. Johnny Boehner was expecting to come back here, vote to bomb the shit out of Syria. And while we're bombing Syria, he was hoping to fund a CR of $1 trillion with Obamacare funded, raise the debt ceiling, and go home week after next. Oh, but today he realized, just these 40 conservative Tea Party guys, they're stopping me from doing anything. They won't listen to what I have to say. I can't lead. And now we have to cancel our vacation and actually sit here and try to get them to vote on something. Yeah, that's right, Johnny. You actually have to work. You remember? Now this guy is suddenly a bold leader, right? Right, Chris? He's suddenly a real bold friggin' leader, because he's going to lead on this thing and tell them, you know, Obamacare is not going to be defunded. But we're going to vote to defund it. But we're going to give Harry Reid the power to strike it. I'm going to use Eric Cantor to do it. But you remember what he told the douchebag with the Nobel Prize is trying to blow up the world, when he was trying to blow up the world a year ago in Libya? Remember what Boehner told him? He told him this.
Mr. President, this is your moment. We're ready to be led.
Oh, God.
Really? So this guy is willing to be led by Obama,
God.
Right? But he's not willing to be led by his own caucus. Now, this is like the worst speaker ever, and that's hard for me to say because the douchebag before him was Nancy Pelosi. It's like you said, you can't make this shit up. It is literally insane. But you got to put the pressure on. It's working. They were hoping today, on Thursday, today, to actually have a vote. And what they were planning on doing was passing a continuing resolution that fully funds the government with a separate addendum that defunds Obamacare. And then what happens is that goes over to the Senate, and the Senate votes on the defunding Obamacare and says no, obviously, right? And now that's stricken, and then they're left with this continuing resolution, which they vote on and pass. So the Republicans can then again say, I voted for the 41st time to defund Obamacare because I'm a Tea Party conservative constitutionalist. Well, you knew damn well Harry Reid was going to strike it. What has to happen is they have to not allow the decoupling of these two things. It's either the full CR without Obamacare or no CR, no continuing resolution. That's because Harry Reid hasn't come up with a friggin' budget in 3 years. right? So
well,
you've got to put the pressure on. It worked. Hold on, Chris. They delayed it. They didn't have that vote today. Instead, Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi and Eric Cantor and John Boehner and Harry Reid had a meeting to try to figure out how can we rein in the caucus, right? So put the pressure on. You go to www.don'tfundit.com. You do it now. You do it again. You get it out there. You tweet it. You Facebook it. You get people to sign it. Keep doing it. The thing is almost at 1.3 million. We need it to be above 3 million. So let's get on that. You go there. The other thing you do is you call. Call your congressman. Call your representative. Call Eric Cantor at 202-225-2815. And call little Johnny Boehner at 202-225-0600 and tell them you know what they're up to and you're not going to allow them to get away with it. These people have 2014 coming up. They're scared. Make it far riskier for them to piss you off than to piss off those health care companies and insurance companies and medical care companies that have paid for this bill. Go ahead.
Well, here was the question I was going to ask. Have you heard anything? Forget Obamacare for a second. We're getting ready to raise the debt ceiling $1 trillion. Has anybody heard any discussion about the atrocity of that move in itself?
No, because first of all, it's going to happen. I don't know if it'll be the full trillion, something smaller, something bigger, who knows, but it's going to happen. Here's why. When these guys go to stand on principle and not raise it, the bankers come in and tell them, look, this is what's going to happen. Total economic collapse, police state, martial law, fires, cats and dogs living together, a calamity, so they do it. And in some sense, it has to be done. You can either, shut the whole thing down immediately, and we will rock into the Stone Age and dig out slowly, or you bring it in for a somewhat bumpy but more gentle glide over like a five-year period. I mean, you really can't. You can't shut the Federal Reserve off tomorrow. You're going to have to phase it out because it's been 100 years. And like any addict, you're hooked on this flow of free printed Federal Reserve money. If you shut it off immediately, you crash. You need to, go into detox, and you got to go through the DTs and get off it and replace it with a commodity-backed dollar. So they're going to do it anyway. But the fact that they're not talking about it is a real problem. Because what that's telling you is that the interest is growing so fast on this thing that they have to increase it by ever-increasing amounts to the point where all the discussion about income taxes and all that crap is a bunch of horseshit because all the income tax becomes is the interest payment on the debt. So when they tell you if the wealthy don't pay their portion, then government services aren't being funded. Taxes don't fund government services. Debt does. Taxes merely pay the interest on the debt to the profiteers. And so that's the fundamental thing that people have to understand. And since people are waking up now, this is the information that you have to get out to them. And the debt ceiling issue, the continuing resolution, Obamacare, these things are all interlaced. And what you need is bold leadership. John Boehner is not bold. He's not a leader. He's a fucking drunk. And he's fucking orange. How did this guy become Speaker of the House? It's nuts. I mean, the Crypt Keeper, his cousin, the last Speaker of the House, was bad, and now you got this guy. It's crazy, but the fact is that bold leadership is coming. It's happening right now. Ted Cruz is a bold leader. Rand Paul is a bold leader. Mike Lee's doing the same thing. Even young Justin Amash is real. I mean, look, he almost got that vote to curtail the NSA. That's pretty powerful. Okay, so these people are working hard. You need to support them, and you need to call out the sons of bitches like Peter King and Lindsey Graham and Jihad Jane McCommon and Nancy Pelosi and all these other people. You got to call them out. Put the pressure on. Yeah, put the pressure on. But the thing is that the fear that these pussies have, right, is that they're going to be pushed by Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, and at least 40 to 80 actually conservative or pretending conservative because they're running in conservative districts in the House caucus. They're being put on notice, and they're being pushed to the point where they're not likely to be able to get this thing done in time. They're not going to find a compromise, and they're going to have to face the fact that it'll either be A, Obamacare actually gets defunded and the debt ceiling may not be raised as much as they want, or B, on October 1st, you're forced into a government shutdown. Oh, my God, government shutdown. Freak out, everybody. It's going to be horrible. The government shuts down. We're all going to die. When the last time the government shut down, nothing happened. No one died. No one exploded. The country didn't collapse. Everything was fine. There was no, you know, singular black hole that sucked up the planet. You know, Satan didn't come crawling out of his cave. Nothing happened. It's not that bad. We've got 50 governments, state governments in this country. They'll continue to operate. Don't worry about the federal government. Shut the fucking thing down. That's fine. Now, you know, the Republicans are mean. They want to shut the government down. Well, actually, that's not true. The Republicans wouldn't be shutting the government down. Apparently, Cantor and Boehner want to pass a continuing resolution. Well, the conservatives want to pass a continuing resolution, and they're willing to pass one to fund every single bit of the government, which includes things they don't like the Department of Education, the EPA, Nancy Pelosi's plastic surgery, or whatever the fuck she puts in her face. They're willing to fund all that. They're just not willing to fund the so-called Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, Boehner Care, or Obamacare, I don't care what you call it. That's the only thing they're not willing to fund. So if Boehner and Cantor and Obama and Reid have such a hard-on for this thing, then they're the ones who are shutting the government down, not the conservative Republicans, not Ted Cruz. That's not true. But so what if they do? What's the fear? I mean, Chris, what do you think they fear? They fear losing elections? They fear that the left stream media is going to beat up on them? I mean, what are they afraid of shutting the government down? What's the big deal?
Well, see, and that's something that nobody has really broken down well. I think you have some clips on this, don't you, talking about the shutdown and what happens in a shutdown. But I do not – I personally, the longer and the uglier this gets under Obama's second term – and the more these rhinos expose themselves, I'm beginning to wonder what it is they fear, because their lack of action is going to cost them their seat anyway. So what is it that they're afraid of?
Well, they don't want to upset
criticism?
Their backers and their donors.
Well, that must be it. But, I mean, they're all filthy rich when they retire anyway. So... I mean, I can't figure it out. There is no higher ground morality that any of these people are standing on. And most of these guys who are causing most of the problem are at the end of their political career, not the beginning. And so, you know, they're going to be out this year, next, or 2014, 2016 anyway. So I'm not sure. I mean, maybe somebody has dirty information on them because, like, the NSA stuff. Who knows? There are days I wonder what the hell it is they fear.
Well,
they should fear.
I agree
God,
with you. I mean,
but, you know.
Yeah, well, I don't know that maybe they do, maybe they don't, but I know that they fear losing their backers and their donors. yeah, I think we got a couple of clips, but let's just tee it up a little bit before we get to that. But you know, last time there was a big government shutdown, it was back in the mid '90s. It was when Newt Gingrich was Speaker of the House. And, you know, came in there, you know, he said, I'm going to get a Republican majority when he was a freshman. They all laughed at him. And then here we are, 94, contract with America. And Bill Clinton had come in and just taken a huge left turn, which is really kind of hard to do since his predecessor was George H.W. Eat My Shorts Bush, who's a lefty himself. And so, you know, they're putting in this massive health care program, you know, on their way to a single-payer system, which is really what this is all about. It's about total government control. He did a stimulus program, debt. I mean, the progressive agenda. It was basically like similar to what Obama did, only it wasn't as bad because the numbers were smaller. People didn't like it. And Gingrich took advantage of that, and here he comes with the 10 points in the contract with America, says, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. We're going to get it done in 100 days. They swept in first majority and since 1928, I think, and got all of it done. Now, a few things were, you know, and within 100 days. So he told us what he was going to do, and then he got it done. Okay? And, you know, the Bob Dole Senate was able to kill the balanced budget amendment. So you can thank the rhinos for that one. the Democrats were able to also, and some of the Republicans were able to kill the term limits, so you can thank for that. But at least Newt got all those things worked in, and it was a good start, right? And then there was a reaction. It's like, oh crap, this guy's gotten real powerful. He actually asked for time on TV and spoke directly to the American people. No speaker had done that before. He's like, this guy's rivaling the president. Well, you know, keep in mind something.
Front C-SPAN in the government.
All the time, you know. This is third in line for the president, which makes you, I mean, think about it. Today it's Obama, Biden, Boehner. I mean, can you pick three bigger buffoons to put on the top of the ticket, you know? It's insane. But back then, Gingrich did. And let's be clear about something. I don't really like Clinton, and I don't like any of his policies, but Clinton is no dummy. He's a smart guy. Newt's a smart guy, and they were able to work things out. Now you got a bunch of incompetent morons who are just trying to blame each other and try to squeam, you know, out of stuff. It's psychotic. But the simple fact is that it came to a point where Clinton didn't want to give Newt some of the things that he wanted. And so Newt didn't give him any money. And so what happened? The government shut down. Now, before everybody freaks out, that doesn't mean the military is not getting paid. Doesn't mean you're not getting a Social Security check. Doesn't mean your Medicare benefits won't be paid. It doesn't mean any of that. The parks aren't going to close. The air is not going to dry up. The sky is not going to fall. It simply means that absolutely essential, so defense, any kind of, you know, necessary law
services,
enforcement, these kinds of things, they're not going to go away. What's going to go away is all the crap that's, you know, the government should be doing in the first place. So, I mean, in my opinion, shut it down and keep it shut. But that's not how it works. Clinton then realized that the government was shut down and it was his fault. Now, the media spun it that it was Newt's fault, but it was Clinton's fault because he wouldn't come to the table. Well, he had to, and he did. And what happened? He triangulated, right? That's what Dick Morris called it. But it means that Newt Gingrich took a liberal, powerful, popular liberal Democrat and forced him towards the right. So what did you end up with? Four balanced budgets. Granted, baseline balanced budgets isn't really a balanced budget, but it's the closest thing that you've seen in 60 years to a balanced budget. A huge capital gains tax cut, the largest in history, that spurred massive economic growth and job creation, at least 11 million jobs. You reformed an entitlement program, welfare reform, so that it actually helped people get to work instead of being dependent on the program, and it cost a third less. And there were some ancillary government departments that were shut down. Was it a perfect?
Paid off some of the debt.
And they reduced the debt. So was that perfect? Was it fantastic? Were we suddenly a constitutional republic again? No, no, and no. But we were moving back towards the right direction. And as Mark Levin says, it took us 100 years to get here. It might take us 20 to get back. And in those 5 years, Newt started getting us back. So what was the reward? Little Lindsey Graham, little Ricky Santorum,
Boehner.
Johnny Boehner, decided to conspire and oust Newt. And then they go on a drunken sailor spending spree with compassionate conservatism and deliver you right into the hands of Obama. Now, the media meme is all those things that people like, you know, balanced budgets, tax cuts, reform entitlements, job creation. Everybody gives the credit now to Bill Clinton. But revenue bills originate in the House. Those are all Newt's ideas. They were conservative Republican ideas that were put forward, and Clinton had to sign off on them. Now, the shutdown was much maligned in the media and much maligned by the federal dipshits that were out of a job on furlough for a few weeks. But the American people liked it. They liked it so much that they reelected the Republicans. Now, granted, there were, 8 or 9 seats lost in the House, but they retained the majority, and they picked up some seats in the Senate. Thankfully, one of them wasn't Bob Dole. You know, so that's a principled move. It was good for the country, for Democrats, Republicans, Independents, and everyone alike, and it was a smart electoral move. So you got to ask yourself, what are they afraid of? Now, Obama's on his heels. Coming off the Syria thing, the guy is weak right now. He's incompetent. His favorability ratings are low. He looks like a fool in the world. This is the time to push him, not to back away and support him. This is the time to go forward and go bold. But what's Boehner doing? Crying like a baby. Now, the media still spins this thing that it was a bad shutdown. I've got I got 3 minutes here with Newt Gingrich on CNN, I think, with Wolf Blitzer. And Wolf tries to paint it that way, and just listen to how Newt handles it.
Joining us right now, the former House Speaker, Newt Gingrich. Newt, as you know, House Republicans, they've voted 40 times to repeal, to get rid of Obamacare. It's not going anywhere in the Senate. Certainly the president would veto that. And now some Republicans are saying they are ready to shut down the government to do away with Obamacare. You believe this is a mistake. Tell us why.
Well, I don't think we should shut the government down. I think we should finance all of the government except Obamacare. And I think we should be prepared to send a bill. The House Republicans ought to send a bill to the Senate that says, here's the entire government except Obamacare. And then I think Senator Reid and the president have to decide how big a crisis they want to create, but make clear that it's their crisis. It's not. There's no desire by Republicans to shut the government down. But I also think, and I've been here in Boston talking with the Republican National Committee, we need to offer a better future in health care. We've got people like Dr. Mike Burgess, a congressman, Dr. Tom Price, a congressman, Dr. Bustani, a congressman. We have a number of people with good ideas, and we should solidify into a Republican better future in health alternative and say, look, would you have this personalized medicine future? Obama, and I think that would put us in a much stronger position to then force the fight over Obamacare in October.
Because you know the president would veto any legislation that wouldn't fund Obamacare, and in effect, there could be a government shutdown. You lived through two government shutdowns in the 90s. As you well remember, Republicans paid a huge political price for both of those shutdowns.
You know, I thought so at the time, and then as I got away from Washington and was no longer speaker and thought about it for about 2 years, it occurred to me that that's all nonsense. The first reelected House Republican majority since 1928 occurred after the shutdown. And so I've always wondered, what is this big price that we paid? We got reelected. Nobody had been reelected since 1928.
Well, the big price, Mr. Speaker, was that Bill Clinton was reelected in 1996.
Well, but I don't think Bill Clinton was reelected because of the shutdown.
I think that was that was certainly a major part of it.
But he also signed the welfare reform bill.
That was important as well. That was important as well. But he certainly benefited dramatically in recapturing the White House for 4 years because of those two Republican-led government shutdowns.
Well, all I would suggest to you is that there were a lot of different factors in the presidential campaign, but the people who were directly responsible for the shutdown got reelected. And that nobody had been reelected. You know, incumbent presidents getting reelected is a lot more common than Republican Congresses getting reelected was in 1996. And yet almost nobody in the media wants to look at why was it that while Clinton got reelected, so did the House Republicans and so did the Senate Republicans.
Well, those are fair points.
You're damn right they are.
Those were fair points. Well, you were trying real hard to really make it sound really bad, and it just so the facts aren't with you, Wolf. Yeah, there it is. I mean, the numbers don't lie. The media can tell you all day long, it was horrible, it was terrible, it was crazy, the sky fell, there was no air in the parks, and the water dried up. But that's not what happened. The people reelected the majority, so it was a good electoral move. But it was also good for the country.
Yeah. This is the part I think that needs to be talked about, and we experienced, you know, the primary and the election and the focus and the energy that we've got to replace Obama and we've got to vote for Romney. The president is only one man. You know, he is the executive. He executes the laws of the land. And when you think about it, you know, the most important or not, but equally important aspects of that government are the House and the Senate. And if we didn't have a majority House and Senate and the people in the Senate at the time of Clinton, Clinton would have run hog wild and done what Obama's done now. And here we have a House majority and they can't stop Obama on anything. And that's the point. You know, Newt and his house was able to slow down a very liberal, new age liberal president and still get those 10 Contract with America points put through. You know, they dealt with budgets. They dealt with, you know, getting rid of some departments. They dealt with actually paying down some of the debt. I mean, there was just so many positive aspects that came out of that. That did not come from the left. That came from the House. And I guess for us, people like you and I, who have studied that era as much as we have, to see what the House has not done after we gave them a majority, you know, in 2010,
mm-hmm. 2010.
Is mm-hmm. a very disheartening effect. It really is. It's just mind-boggling that people don't understand how much power sits in that House and how little they have done with
huge. It. It's huge, and they've squandered it, and they've given Obama cover on a million things. Obama is nothing. He's impotent, and you saw it. He wanted to go to war in Syria, whether it's because of the Saudis or whoever paid him or Valerie Jarrett, or maybe he just likes war. I don't care. The fact is that he was put on point to blow up Syria, and he couldn't do it because the Congress wouldn't move along with him. That's how impotent he is, and that's precisely the check that the Founding Fathers put in the Constitution for that particular
exactly.
reason, so that the president couldn't act like a king. But the Republicans tried so hard to give it to him, to give him cover and to push the thing. And the Fox News was all out there, and John McCain and King and Karl Rove, everybody was at war, war, war. But the loudest voices were the people, 90% against, and the champions like Ted Cruz and Rand Paul and Justin Amash talking about why this is a stupid idea. It's not about how wonderful Assad is. I don't care if Assad's a good guy or a bad guy. He's certainly not crazy, and he's certainly not irrational, and it's none of our business. But it's yeah. about we're likely to make it much, much worse with this infinitely small surgical pinprick strike or whatever the hell Kerry called it. You know, so it shows you that it's impotence. And the House has massive power, especially the Speaker, and Newt used it like a pro. And Ted is being very Gingrich-esque these days. He's using it like a pro, but he's not the majority in the or even the minority leader in the Senate. He's a freshman senator. He's not in the House, but he's speaking so boldly and so clearly and so logically, he's caused massive problems for Boehner and Cantor. So go to www.don'tfundit.com right now, sign the petition, tweet it out. I want you to get 10 people to sign it while you're listening to the show, whether live or in archive. Get 10 people to sign it. It's important we get huge numbers. And give little Eric Cantor a call. His phone number is 202-225-2815. And call little crying tan Johnny Boehner, 202-225-0600, and let them know you're watching them. You're not putting up with any little parliamentary tricks. You want this thing not funded. Show bold leadership. Newt did it. Newt did it. He showed the way, and he's even advised them on how to do it now with appropriations and everything else, but they won't do it because these guys are on the other team. Not the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
They're on the statist team. They want a bigger, powerful federal government to wield. And what happened with the Tea Party that you brought up, Chris, in 2010 we told the Republicans, we're going to watch you too, right? And what did they do? They infiltrated the Tea Parties. They weakened the Tea Parties. They gave you Mitt Romney. They convinced you to support Mitt Romney, but enough of us didn't. And now you're back. Now the Tea Party's back over this thing. Ted Cruz revitalized it. Rand Paul revitalized it. And it's time for you to activate Tea Party, Liberty Movement, progressives of good conscience, Occupy. I don't care who. Just get people involved. You saw it on Syria. We delayed. I can't say we stopped because I think it's still going to happen. But we delayed a strike on Syria that might have triggered World War III. And you have to understand something. When Newt did this in 95, Chris, it was just Newt and C-SPAN. The media was full-on against him, right? Full-on against him. This time, the media went full-on for this war. But Chris Greenick had alternate media television, and Ben Swan and Josh Tully were out there saying the truth, and people heard it, and nobody wanted it, and we won. It's different this time. There was no Twitter. There was barely a World Wide Web when Newt did this. Information was fairly controlled. People were still, for the most part, watching network television and getting fed the bullshit in those little in 30 minutes. You know, now it's different. So what Newt did in 95 could be done on an even grander scale today, and that's precisely what Ted Cruz called a grassroots tsunami. You are that tsunami. What do? You don't sit back and post and share stuff on Facebook about Obama again or Putin's op-ed piece, okay? I mean, that's fine that you put that out there. But don't think yourself some kind of armchair activist if that's what you did. You didn't do much other than just spread news which people already are either interested in, knew about, or have never heard of and don't care. You want to really be an activist? Get www.don'tfundit.com out to people so they sign it. Not just so they look at it, but they sign it and they share it with 10 of their friends. That's what you can do. Best thing to do, personal call. Follow up with an email, send them a tweet, put it on their Facebook page, and get them to do it. Tweet it out. Hashtag don't fund it. How about this show? Oh, Rex, you cuss too much. Yeah, you know what? When I see my country falling apart, when I see my president trying to start World War III to take out my country, when I see my conservative Republican Speaker of the House trying to fund a trillion-dollar disaster that's going to destroy health care and put people's lives at risk, yeah, I get a little pissed off. My language might get a little colorful. If that offends you, and you're more offended by my language than you are by the fact that they're about to destroy the economy, wreck jobs, put people in harm's way, and blow up the world, then there's something wrong with you. Okay?
Yeah, wait.
That's what's really important.
Wait until you go for that operation you need, and you get denied.
Yep.
Let's see if you see.
Then you'll start worrying about it. So yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
So get the show out there. You can go to the Tex and Rex Show page on Facebook. You like the page, you'll get notifications when we're broadcasting. If you're in Blog Talk Radio, go to the Tex and Rex Show page. There, all the shows are there, especially the ones called The Conservative Comeback, Obliterating Obamacare, Part 1 from last week. Still very vital because we took a different tack. We talked a little bit more about the actual bill. And then this week where we're talking about how defunding it and possibly risking a disastrous government shutdown would actually be a good thing. It would be good for the country. It would be good for the stature of the Constitution. It would be good for our economics. And it would be good electorally, not only for the Republican Party, but actually for conservatives in the Republican Party. So it's good all around. But John Boehner's too afraid to do it. But guess what, Chris? Little Johnny Boehner wasn't always Speaker of the House. In fact, he was on crossfire several years ago when he was just Representative Boehner. And I think it was in 98. And he had some choice words to say about a do-nothing Congress. Here's John Boehner. Johnny. No, Johnny, calm down. No, I'll bring you on a little bit later. I'm just playing the clip from 98. Sorry about that, folks. He does that a lot. All right, here he is. John Boehner, 1998.
It's projected you're going to work 89 days max this year. Why should we pay you for more than 89 when you're only working 89?
Well, it's 89 days here in Washington, but as you know, we've got constituents at home. We've got issues in our district that we need to deal with. And the fact is, this is classic Washington thinking, that if we're not passing some new big government program or issuing new regulations, getting into the pockets of our constituents, then we're not working. Unfortunately, most Americans don't agree with your premise that this is a do-nothing Congress.
Oh, boy. Little Rep. Boehner could tell Speaker Boehner a few things, couldn't he? You know, unless you're passing a massive bill. I mean, this is how it works. You know, they get in there talking conservative, and then they're just corrupt to the core. What's wrong with this guy?
You know, this brings back that you keep hearing it. It'll pop up every once in a while about term limits. and then everybody will freak out and they'll scare people with it, you know, like the results of that, and then it goes away. It is amazing to me how this does not gain more traction. People bitch and moan about Congress. It has a 9% or less approval ratio. You know, it's beat up all the time, and yet when term limits come up, it somehow they're able to twist and scare people with that idea. I really believe that if you really want to solve the problem, it's got to happen. It absolutely has to happen. We need people to go in there, work, do their job, and
12
go
years.
Back to real life. And go
yeah,
back 12 to real
years
life.
Max. Yeah, 12 years max combined. Actually, Mark Levin, who I think is a pretty sharp guy. I know some people think he's a statist and other people think that he's a constitutionalist. And frankly, I don't care what he is. I just like some of his ideas. His new book, The Liberty Amendments, is starting a very vitally important conversation. Now, I don't agree with all of them, but the one on term limits is actually pretty solid. And he basically says 12 years. And that's a combination of, you know, you can have six House terms, you can have three House terms and one Senate term. That's fine. Yeah, 12 years is pretty good. It's not so short that if you're doing a good job, you can't be effective. And it's not so long that when you become, you know, appropriated and corrupt, you can keep doing damage. It's pretty smart. The important thing is that he's having an Article 5 conversation. Article 5 is the way you properly amend the Constitution. Now, some people like that. Some people don't like that. Some people prefer nullification and secession. Some people don't. The fact is that, you know what? Liberty's messy. We don't know all the answers. We don't know where things are going. And it doesn't always work the same because it has to encounter the culture and the people at the time and place that we are. But the principle.
Well, our founding fathers, I don't think they ever envisioned that we would be at this point, you know.
Well, I don't know. I'm pretty sure Thomas Jefferson did. I think Jefferson
yeah.
did.
Him and Ron
you know, but the simple, yeah, but the simple fact is that, you know, it's important to have the conversation because all we've been doing is sitting back and thinking, well, I can send a petition and an email and I get to vote. Well, if that's all you're doing, you're part of the problem. There's much more you can do. It's about, and Chris says it all the time, it's about getting educated, about knowing what your Constitution says. Look, September 17th, it's the anniversary of the Constitution. You know, we sell, everybody thinks July 4th, right? That's the Declaration of Independence. Constitution, September 17th. Read it. When was the last time you read it? It's the operating manual of the United States. If you haven't read it, you don't know how to operate. So read it. It's a very powerful document. There was a lot of deliberation that went into it to create these checks and balances. And let's be clear about something. The Founding Fathers, when they wrote this thing, and it was somewhat of a compromise, it's certainly not a perfect document. It's more perfect than anything else we've ever seen, though. They knew that there would be fights. They knew it would be contentious. What we have in D.C. is rhetorical kabuki theater. While they're all polite to each other and bend over backwards to please each other, scratch each other's backs to build up more state power. It's supposed to be ugly. The Speaker of the House should be in a dogfight right now with the Senate and the President, a real ugly one. But this guy's spineless. Give him a spine. And the way you give him a spine is you make him so afraid of being demoralized, losing his legacy, looking like a complete ass, maybe not being able to afford liquor, that he'll do what he has to do as Speaker of the House in order to keep the caucus together. It can be done. This fight can be won. And even if it's not won, you can certainly move the ball in the right direction. But not with these pansies and not with these procedural tricks like the ones that, what's his name? Eric Cantor's trying to feed you. So when they tell you, look, it can't be defunded this way, it's illegal, it's blah, 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 that's a bunch of horseshit. The fact is that Obamacare itself is illegal. We talked about this in part one. And remember something, folks, the archive is available there. So take the link for part one and part two and share it with people. You know, we're broadcasting live, but it's still available. And this information is important. Some people have never heard this stuff. They've never had the discussion about what the Patient Protection Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare, a.k.a. Boehner Care, is actually about. They don't understand what the government shutdown is about. They don't know what happened in 1995 when Newt Gingrich actually moved the ball towards the right. Now, some of you out there might be constitutionalists, libertarians, ANCAPs, progressives. Y'all might hate Newt Gingrich. I don't care if you do or don't, you know. But understand what happened historically and as fact. He got a liberal Democrat progressive who was taking us down the same path Obama is taking us down now to turn around and go the other way. That is powerful. You cannot take that away from him. Now, do you like all his other votes? There's a lot of them I have problems with. But you have to acknowledge the fact that he moved inside Washington, which is this powerful monolithic pressure cooker that just goes on its own power and just gets bigger. He moved it back towards the right, towards where we were with Reagan and Goldwater. Now, he did some other things that you might not like. Newt's kind of a thinker, and he changes, but he learns, and he adjusts, okay? And so you really got to pay attention to what happened and learn how it's done, because that's how we got to do it now. And the other thing is that Newt's very smart, and you can learn from him, and he learns. And he's been a big supporter of your champions. Here's 30 seconds on Newt talking about who the real Republican Party is.
The establishment will grow more and more hysterical the more powerful Rand Paul and Ted Cruz become, and they will gain strength as it's obvious that they're among the few people willing to raise the right question. And I consistently have been on the side of having the courage that Rand Paul and Ted Cruz have, and I think it's sad to watch the establishment grow hysterical. Christie is a very good governor of New Jersey. Apparently, in a New Jersey tradition, he thinks that bluster and strong language without facts can carry you a long way.
That's Newt Gingrich telling you that the establishment is going to get more shrill and more apoplectic and freaked out, which is what you're seeing, the more powerful Rand Paul and Ted Cruz become. Do you agree with that?
Well, when you see the debt ceiling go up another whatever, $800 to $1 trillion, without an argument, without a discussion, without anything. I mean, the sequester was the biggest joke on the face of the earth because it was a cut in the rate of growth in the government. So it was not even a real cut. And when you see this next debt ceiling just roll right through without a discussion or a debate or even discussing, you know, going back to what, I mean, I've studied Newt Gingrich, so I understand his intellect behind reforming government. You know, he had a whole plan for reforming government. We have waste in every department there is, and everybody knows it, and nobody's willing to talk about it. And they're going to go out and they're going to put us in debt to our enemies, you know, for another $800 billion plus. And this is only this is just a short-term fix. This is no solution. Zero solution. Nothing has been done to reform the federal government in the last 4.5 years. Nothing.
Well, it depends on what you mean by reform, white man. I mean, yeah. I think that Obama's reformed it with a quote, fundamental transformation, you know. And he's gotten away with it for the most part, right? Mm-hmm. The Republicans speak against it, but give him everything. But all of a sudden, with this Syria thing, it's like came to a screeching halt. He hit a friggin' brick wall, and I don't think the guy knew what – I think he went to the G20 stunt. He went to the – like, you know, I thought I was the cool rock star, messiah, savior, slash god of the universe, and now people aren't really feeling me. And I'm on shaky ground.
Yeah, pretty funny.
You know. And everybody thinks it's because of Assad and Putin. No, it's the Constitution. It was Rand Paul. It was Ted Cruz. It was Justin Amash. It was Dennis Kucinich. It was Ron Paul. You know, and it showed the weakness. The imperial presidency just kind of faltered right there. Now they're trying to revive it. And part of the imperial presidency, you have to remember something. And this is important for people to understand because this is not a left-right thing. It's not a Republican-Democrat thing. The state has a tendency to become self-perpetuating, and the way it perpetuates, and we talked about it last time with the 1984 model, perpetual warfare, that was Sunday night show. Remember, Sunday night, 10 p.m., that's our regular broadcast time. Check out our show, Perpetual Warfare for Perpetual Peace. We talked about the welfare warfare state. You always have to be at war because that gets people to give things up for – sake of country, right? So we're always at war, whether it's bombing Syria or we're in Mali or we're in Sri Lanka or who knows where the hell we are next. But we're going to bomb somebody, we're going to kill somebody, we're going to send our young men and women over there to do something to somebody. And then it creates a war at home. And that war is always a surveillance security police state. And you're seeing it, man. We know what's going on with the NSA. They're spying on everybody. So nobody, left, right, or center, should be okay with this. Spying on terrorists, foreign spies, fine. I think my government should do that. Spying on every American without due process, without probable cause, not cool, no matter what side of the spectrum you're on. And you're seeing a massive increase in absolutely unfettered, unnecessary police brutality and police killings. A 107-year-old man was just shot in his house. Some woman was just pummeled to the ground by a couple of cops for no reason. She was already in handcuffs and arrested. They beat the shit out of her. These things are on YouTube. This is the mindset that builds up when you have a welfare warfare state, and the welfare spearhead is this thing. Boehner Care, Obamacare, Cantor Care. None of them care. All they want is a mechanism to control the economy, to control where you work, what you eat, what you drink, who your doctor is, or even if you're allowed to have a doctor. That's how serious this is. Now, you tell her, oh, actually, that sounds like it's, you know, there's a lot of good stuff in it. That's fine. Maybe there's some good stuff in it. Great. Scrap the whole thing, defund it, balance the budget, reduce the debt, and then pass a 2-3-page bill with this good stuff. You know, maybe if you created some jobs, 26-year-old kids wouldn't need to be on their parents' health insurance. Maybe they could buy their own. Maybe if you didn't mandate everything in every policy. I mean, you know, some like Chris, I mean, can you imagine 21-year-old healthy young man, you know, doesn't go see his doctor, is just really concerned about maybe, you know, he gets injured and has to go to the hospital, so he wants some hospitalization insurance. Well, why would he want to buy a policy that covers, I don't know, the formulary covers geriatric drugs and birth control pills, mammograms, prostate screenings? I mean, why would he want to pay for all that crap? He doesn't need any of that stuff, you know?
That's right. So,
but he can't buy that policy because it's all that other stuff that's mandated to be in there, not only by Obamacare, at the state level too. So, you know, maybe he wants a different choice. Why don't we offer him that?
Well,
maybe
that's all that social rebuilding, you know, rebuilding
right.
Society by forcing this stuff to be paid for by everybody.
Yeah. I mean, do I really have to pay for Bradley Manning's sex change operation? I mean,
no.
Is that really necessary? I mean, you know, elective surgery like that, pay it on your own. Why is it covered? You know?
Yeah, why do I have to pay for it?
Why do you got to pay for someone's hard-on medication? I mean, you can't get a hard-on. That sounds like your problem. You pay for your medication. I mean, it's fine to put, you know, heart medicine, cholesterol, you know, cancer medication. That makes sense to put in the formulary. But, I mean, does everybody really have to cover some guy's hard-on medicine? I mean, come on. That's the kind of stupidity that happens when you mandate everything instead of allowing the consumer, the healthcare advisor, and the funding mechanism, you know, free reign to make each decision and negotiate a contract. But it's not allowed because the state comes in and says you got to put all this other crap in there. Oh, and part of this crap is we're going to have 16,000 armed IRS agents that are going to enforce it, and if you don't buy the product from our favorite companies, we're going to come after you. How's that freedom, and how does that help people be healthier and have more choices? It doesn't. It's never about that.
No, it's pretty bad.
It's about control. And before you all get excited, oh, it's Obamacare. Obama's not going to be there that much longer. And for you liberals, this massive power structure is going to be handed over to some Southern Baptist fundamentalist conservative who might decide that, you know what, if you don't go to Southern Baptist services every Sunday at 11, you can't go see a doctor. Oh, Obama handed him that power. See, what happened is Bush, after 9/11, expanded the police state through DHS to such a magnificent level and put us in all these wars, right? And handed all of that extra power over to Obama, who ran with it. Obama ran with it, right? And you're happy about it now because all of a sudden, you know, people like Juan Williams and Jeanine Garofalo, you all are now happy warmongers because it's your war, right? And you're happy to force the Catholic Church to have to fund contraceptive pills and elective abortions. But what happens when that power that was handed from Bush to Obama and got bigger under Obama is now handed back to another Bush or a Rubio or a Christie or some other nutcase who decides that, you know, they're going to wield that power in the other direction. Now you're going to be upset about it. Well, how about we just don't give them the power in the first place? We play nice out here on our own, in liberty. That's what it's about, you know. And then, you know, for you conservatives out there, especially you Fox News-watching conservatives, I mean, if you're still listening to Bill O'Reilly, I mean, just change the channel and watch Duck Commander, for God's sake. I mean, Bill O'Reilly's dangerous. The guy is a fool. And he's a shill for you know, Fox News is horrible. I mean, I'll tell you, I think Fox News is the worst one of them all, and I'll tell you why. Because they have just enough sense to, like, let Hannity talk to Rand Paul and let Greta interview Ted Cruz, and then they fill it in with all this other leftist crap, like they bring on Jihad Jane McCammed's lesbian daughter or whatever the hell she is. You know, and they feed you all this other crap, and Karl Rove is always on there. So Fox News is not your friend, okay? In fact, here's some quirky chick from Fox News trying to accuse Newt of the same thing Wolf Blitzer did about the shutdown.
Taking a look back at seeing what happened back in 1995, would you say it was worth it? It was worth the risk, not only
Absolutely.
To the country? Absolutely. And why is that?
Absolutely. For two reasons. First of all, as Republicans, no Republican majority in the House had been reelected since 1928. When we stood firm against liberals and we said we were prepared to really fight, all of our base said, you know, these folks are different. They're not normal politicians. They don't just go to Washington to sell out. And we became the first reelected Republican majority since 1928. I've always been puzzled why the Washington establishment, which is liberal, has always said it was a mistake. But there's a second reason. The shutdown convinced President Clinton that we were serious about balancing the budget. As a result, we controlled spending at 2.9% a year, the lowest rate since Calvin Coolidge in the 1920s. We got to a balanced budget by cutting taxes to increase economic growth. And the result was we balanced the budget for four straight years and paid $5 billion of debt. Now, they had to believe that the Republicans were genuinely serious in order for them to have that kind of negotiation when you had a liberal Democrat in the White House. The result was a bipartisan effort that reformed welfare, cut taxes, and balanced the budget with a full employment economy. That ought to be the goals we set for the next Congress, and have the courage to stand toe-to-toe and say to the president, you're not going to be able to intimidate us and blackmail us on basic principle. We're going to do what's right and rely on the American people to see what's happening.
Brilliant.
Genuinely serious.
Genuinely serious. I mean, that's the thing. But just notice up front, though, that she was like, do you think that was a good idea? Are you sure? You know, she's trying to accuse him of it, and he just laid it out there. You know, genuinely serious. That means, look, Obama was full on for this war, right? And then he flinched because he was like, oh, shit, I can't do this without Congress, and they're not coming along. And now he's weak, right? Now's the time for Boehner. Of course, he has no spine, but, you know, maybe with some help from his friends in the House, he can grow a pair and sack up and tell him, we're serious. You're either going to get a continuing resolution without any Obamacare funding, or the government's going to shut down. And it's going to be on your head, Harry Reid. It's going to be on your head, Obama. Why do you want to shut the government down? I mean, is Obamacare, which you've already given 6 million exemptions to for big business and this group and that group and this group, and the thing's falling apart. Baucus said it's a train wreck. It's not. This thing ain't working. Are you that friggin' married to it that you're willing to shut the government down in order to keep this thing going instead of just defund it, let the next Congress scrap it and, you know, take whatever they like in it, whatever is good, whatever might actually work? You know, fine, put that in place. But the thing in itself, it's so contradictory, it's so convoluted, it's so messed up, it's so expensive, it's not working. Are you that married to it that you're willing to shut the government down to keep it? That's the call he has to make.
You know what they're doing? What they're doing, in my opinion, whatever it's worth, is it's all about 2014. I think they know that Obamacare is crashing. I mean, you hear the reports, whether, like I said, whether it's the unions now, you know, running away from it, or, you know, the major corporations or whatever. But the data's out there. And for some reason, you know, the Republicans are not able to grab it, like I said at the beginning, and run with it and use that to build their argument. So they're not able to do that. They're living in fear. They're just holding on to their power. And I think that I really believe that Obama is just willing to say and do anything going into 2014, you know, to, you know, win the House back. You know, that's just what it's about. And all the Republicans, the voting base, is looking for is people like Rand Paul or Cruz or whoever. You know, they're just looking for people to stand up and fight. You know, it doesn't mean that we're going to win everything. It doesn't mean that it's going to happen this time. It doesn't, you know, whatever. But these felonious votes that they keep having, that Boehner keeps having, mean nothing because there's no risk involved. And
right.
It just, after a while, it's just a big joke in the media. You know, 40 votes, whoopee. You know, they mean nothing. It's when you know, you hear Rand or Cruz or Amash or whoever, you know, Gowdy or whoever get on there, and they speak the things, they speak common sense. You know, they just speak, it's just like, yeah, that's America. Yeah, that makes sense. You know, that's all we're looking for. And the guy who runs CNS, the Media Matters, Brent Bozell. Somebody was challenging somebody was challenging him on his desire, you know, to fight these issues. And he basically said that if you fight and you're willing to get out there and put yourself out there and get a little bit bloody, then the base will rise up and support you. The base is so demoralized right now. That's the problem in this country. You know, we can,
because of
we've
betrayal.
Had bad pol- we've had bad politicians forever, you know. And the difference is that now we have a demoralized base of voters on both sides of the aisle, you know, including on Obama's side. You know, he won with a lot less people than he won the first time. People are just beat up. They're tired. They're exhausted. They're freaked out. They don't know who to trust. And when somebody stands up and speaks with clarity and common sense, it just it's like a breath of fresh air, Rex. And
yep.
if anything, regardless of what happens with this, don't fund it or not, regardless of what happens, is the energizing effect of that is what's important.
Absolutely. Anyway. It's not only energizing the voting base. And let's be clear about something. There's a lot of people who are unaffiliated as far as party goes. There's a lot of people who are progressive in many views, but there's an overlap with conservatives on many other views. You know, Syria is just an example.
NSA,
right? NSA is
Syria,
just an example.
IRS.
You know, how about getting Monsanto out of our food? That's one we all agree on. I would argue that probably 70% of the issues that we face, the broad swath of American people is in agreement on it. They just got us fighting with each other, left versus right, elephants versus donkeys, Republicans versus Democrats, Occupy versus Tea Party, over all these things where we probably agree on 70%. The other 30%? Okay, you know what? Let's go toe-to-toe. Let's have a fight about it. After we unravel the welfare warfare state, abolish the IRS and the Federal Reserve, end the wars, then we can have a debate about all this other stuff. And for you pro-aborts out there who just want, a woman's right to choose to murder her baby under any circumstance, and for you pro-lifers out there, and I'm 100% pro-life, no exceptions, that issue is not getting resolved now. No one's even discussing it. Okay, so, you know, pray about it or whatever it is that you want to do. But that issue is not getting resolved right now. But you all are in agreement about no war in Syria. You all are in agreement about no NSA spying on us. You're probably in agreement about the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act if you truly understood it. You know, so some things, and I'm not saying that life isn't important. To me, it's the most important issue, and I advocate for it every single day. But
right.
You take your victories where you can get them. Even if you made abortion 100% illegal tomorrow in this country, abortions won't stop because the culture has moved that far away. Okay? But we can stop killing kids in Syria. We can stop starting World War III. And we can stop destroying the economy with this Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. So I want you to go to www.don'tfundit.com right now and sign it. Get it out to 10 other people before, well, there's only 25 minutes of show left, so within the next 25 minutes, get 10 other people to sign it. And then I want you to call little Johnny Boehner, 202-225-0600, and tell him no CR with Obamacare funding. And then call Eric Cantor. CR is Continuing Resolution, by the way, which is a little measure that they take to fund the government for a temporary period of time when they haven't come up with a budget. All right? And Eric Cantor, 202-225-2815. And if anybody tells you that this is about health care, you just reply,
how about no, you crazy Dutch bastard?
Just say no to Obamacare. Just say no. All right? Just say no. No CR, no funding. You want a CR? No funding. Okay? Can't have a CR and Obamacare. It's one or the other. And if the government is going to get shut down, shut it down. Newt told you. He controlled spending to 2.9%. That's how he was able to get all this stuff done. Control spending with Obamacare, Boehnercare, Cantorcare. Spending cannot be controlled. This thing is so massive. And with the baby boomers getting into Medicare age and Social Security and now this thing, it's so massive, you will never get spending under control. And if we don't control spending, we are going to spiral out of control, and you're going to be broke and hungry and naked and cold. All right? Control spending. He moved Clinton to the right. And people liked it because the voters liked that he was fighting. He was fighting, not selling out. He showed them that
he was
serious, and he communicating to the people, forced real negotiations. That's what Ted Cruz and Rand Paul are doing, by the way. The only reason that they're able to box McConnell in and shut him up is because he's up for re-election, and they're talking over his head directly to the people. And that's what Justin Amash does. Justin Amash tweets and posts every single vote and why he voted for or against on Facebook. He tells you what he's doing. All of them should be forced to do that. Explain your vote, sir. Why did you vote yes on this? Why did you vote no on that? They don't want to explain these things to you because they want to do what their backers tell them to do while they speak to you for your vote. And they're lying to you, especially Eric Cantor and Johnny Boehner and Jihad Jane McCain and Lindsey Lightness Loafers Graham. So this isn't about health care. It's about destroying the economy. And even if we don't succeed in defunding it fully, we can at least slow it down. But the most important thing is if the conservatives get up to fight, then 2014 becomes a victory, not only because the voters, like Chris said, are energized, but because the conservatives within the party feel as if they're able to get things done without being beat down by the rhino progressive corporate estatist Keynesians. That's what this is about. And for all of you out there who might be listening, because this is an interesting topic and maybe not our usual audience is listening, conservatism is about conserving, preserving, keeping, holding on to the timeless principles enshrined in the classical liberal documents, the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution. And I don't care if you're left, right, or center. Those are two things as an American you agree on that we love. Some of the particulars, maybe we got some areas of disagreement. We're going to have a debate, and we're going to see where it goes, and that's the beauty of liberty. But we agree that the Declaration of Independence is the heart and soul of this country, and the Constitution is the framework. That's what we agree on. That's what real, authentic conservatism is. That's why Ron Paul was so damn attractive to people from all walks of life, and he was revitalizing the Republican Party until Ginsburg, Sununu, and Romney stole that movement and kicked it out. But guess what? We haven't left. And remember, I supported Gingrich in the last race, not Ron Paul. I mean, I've always liked Ron Paul, but I'm for Gingrich because Gingrich got things done like we're talking about here, okay?
Right.
But we haven't left. We're the future of this party. And when I say we the future, I'm talking about real conservatives, real Tea Party, real Campaign for Liberty, real Ron Paul Revolution people, not these faux people who jumped to Gary Johnson or the faux people who jumped to Mitt Romney. Okay? We're the real future of the Republican Party. This party, under Rove and Boehner and McCain and Bush and Bush and Bush, is dead. It won't be relevant for the next 4 decades. But under the guide of Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Justin Amash, Mike Lee, Trey Gowdy, this will be the dominant party, because Obama's revealed how weak the Democrat Party is. Hillary's not revealed by this.
Yeah, it's I was going to say that earlier when I was listening to you on one of your runs there, was that, you know, it's falling apart. Their whole system's falling apart. You know, you look at what the Fed has had to do to keep this thing alive. You look at the battle over the sequester, which, you know, wasn't, like we said, was not even a cut. You look at the fallout in the Middle East and the backing of the Arab Spring, of Egypt, of, you know, jumping in, sticking his nose in Syria. I honestly do not believe, we were talking about text the other night, you know, on Obama, that Obama didn't really want to go into Syria, but he saw Syria as an opportunity to, you know, maybe he did, maybe he didn't, but, you know, this wasn't his, like, primary purpose, but it was sure a good diversion. Because the real issues of this country, and I go back to this thing, you know, with the G20, because I don't think people stretch outside of their, you know, their worldview through the U.S. market. You know, you've got to look at what's going on around the world. You look at the BRICS nations, you know, the Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, mm-hmm. and the other countries that have joined together. You look at these new monetary systems that are being put in place, these new security exchanges that the BRICS just put in place, all these trade deals going on all over the world that are circumnavigating the U.S. dollar, U.S. trade dollar. You know, people don't understand the Middle East. They don't educate themselves. But the Middle East and what's going on in Syria is not about Syria and human rights and or any of that crap. It's about, look at the damn map and look where Syria sets and understand that it is a key, you know, it was the Silk Road. Well, they're trying to make it the oil gas road, you know, and who's going to get their pipelines through there, whether it's Saudi and Qatar or it's Iraq, Iran, and Syria, you know, accessing pipelines through there. You know, people don't get this stuff. And there is a whole shift in the world market in terms of where the U.S. dollar or the petrodollar is at play. And we're on the last freaking leg, folks. And the rest of the world, you know, especially after this last crash, and you could almost argue it all the way back to the invasion of Iraq. But, you know, when you look at the trade and the petrodollar and how America will not fix its economic problems, won't fix all these issues, like I said earlier, you know, we're getting ready to, you know, to write up another $900 billion in debt, and nobody's even discussing it. It's just mind-boggling to me. The rest of the world sees this, and they are looking to make new deals, new partnerships around the world, to basically alleviate themselves from the corruption and the bad business practices of the U.S. government. I mean, it's just common sense. You know, we want to you know, beat up on Putin. We want to beat up on China. We want to, you know, criticize, oh, Putin was KGB and blah, 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 blah. You know, and I've said this on every show. Russia has an 8% debt to GDP ratio. We have over 100. Some countries in Europe have 200. Japan's at 200. You know, our monetary system and the games that our politicians and our bankers have been playing for the last 50 years are collapsing. And countries around the world who still have stability and have responsibility to their citizens are changing the rules. They're making new alliances, new deals, new banking systems, new trade deals. It's a natural thing. It doesn't make them our enemy. It just means that they're, like, sick of us. You know, not you and me.
Well,
you know?
Right.
But they're sick of bad monetary policies, you know? And so
they're sick of the criminal government they're sick of the criminal government that's been appropriated by the bankers and the Federal Reserve that's been screwing things up in our name. And you're right, it's not you and me, Chris. It's not the well-intentioned progressive voters. It's not the well-intentioned Occupy people. It's not the Tea Party. It's not the Liberty Movement. It's not us. And the world is recognizing that. And Obama has just revealed the lie. I mean, because people believed, right, that he was the man of the people, and that he was, you know, for peace and for getting us out of the wars and for truly helping the poor, really reforming government and for transparency, and he was gonna fix all the ill will that George Bush got. People believed that bullshit enough to vote for him twice after he killed people in Yemen and bombed people with drones and did all this stuff. They still voted for him, and they wanted to believe, but now he's gone too far, and he's shown he's a puppet for the bankers, for the Saudis, for the APEC lobby. He's a puppet for these interests that don't have your interest, nor mine, nor most of the people on the rest of the planet's interests at heart. All they care about is money and power. And they are, you know, your young boys and girls, but they don't want to go lay their lives down so the Qataris and Saudis can lay pipe through Syria. You know, these guys join the military to defend their country. I mean, maybe they want to go to some foreign countries and lay pipe of their own, but that's a whole different thing, you know. But they don't want to die to lay pipe for Saudis and Qataris through the last secular Arab country at the cost of murdering Christians and supporting Al-Qaeda organ-eating donors as their air force. They don't want to do that. And so it revealed the lie. But it was also a distraction from all these things we talked about tonight. We're about to run out of show. You know, the continuing resolution, Patient Protection Affordable Care Act. I don't care what you call it, Obamacare, Cantor Care, McConnell Care. I don't care. It just sucks, okay? The debt ceiling, the quantitative easing, you know, all of this stuff is going on. The NSA, the IRS, Benghazi, Fast and Furious, none of these things have gone away. But we're not talking about them because of Syria, Syria, Syria. And it's not that we shouldn't talk about Syria. It's important, especially because that dipshit Kerry and Obama have handed Vladimir Putin a massive diplomatic victory. Now, I'm glad that at least since he seems like the mature adult in the world, we were able to delay this war a little bit.
Right.
Okay? But Putin is for Russia. Mm-hmm. And that's his job. That's what he's supposed to do. Now, that doesn't make him our enemy, but it certainly doesn't make him our friend. If he can outmaneuver the United States, he'd love to do that. So don't confuse the fact that Putin is a level-headed adult in this mess because you happen to elect fucking morons to lead your country, okay? That doesn't make him our friend, okay? He's not our enemy, but he's not our friend. That slap in the face about our exceptionalism today really pissed me off. We are exceptional, and I want you to be exceptional. And I want you to show how exceptional we are, that we can hold hands from the left to the right and stand up and not only stop this war, but we can stop Obamacare. And for all of you out there who actually want the things that Obamacare says it's going to provide, I'm with you. We should make those things happen. We're not in disagreement about getting things done, about more access to health care and about cheaper health care and better health care and better medical care for all Americans. The problem is the method and the methodology of how you get there. This is not it. This thing ain't working. They've admitted it themselves. It's not going to provide the benefits that they said that it would. But it's going to cost you so much money and screw up so much of your economy and create so much unemployment that it'll actually make things worse.
Look what it's done, and it's not even fully implemented.
Exactly. And it's going to be fully implemented if little Johnny Boehner and little Eric Cantor can fool you into allowing them to play this little voting game. But you're not going to allow them to do that. You're going to support the conservatives, the real Republicans, and you're going to have a Gingrich-esque revolution. And if it entails a government shutdown, so be it. The only one who's going to look like an ass with a government shutdown is Obama and Reid. It's on their heads. It's not on Ted Cruz's head. It is not on the House's head. It's on their heads because they can have a fully funded government and probably get enough of a debt ceiling increase in the deal to not default, right? You could probably get those things done if you defund this friggin' monster, which is far more damaging than both of those things. Now, that's actually a compromise, because let's face it, continuing resolution funding all of government means funding 90% of the stuff that we all hate. And raising the debt limit, that's a dangerous thing. We're just going further and further into debt, but that's a compromise. You get those two things, provided you don't add this horrible debacle onto us, which is going to destroy incomes and jobs and businesses and God knows what else. And it's important to remember, and I want everybody, but whether you like Newt Gingrich or not, whether you're Republican or a Democrat, whether you're for Ron Paul, or you even were stupid enough to vote for Mitt Romney, I'll forgive you this time because that's in the past. Let's work together on this. Listen to Newt Gingrich. Follow the example. I mean, what happened in the 90s is actually stupendous, because if Newt wasn't there to do those things that he did, we would have been where we are today before the turn of the millennium. Before the turn of the millennium. The only reason we've lasted this long is because of what Newt did. You can't take that away from him. No matter what he's done since or before, you like him or he cheated on his wife, I don't care about any of that stuff. Just look at the hard facts. If Newt didn't lead a bold house in the mid-90s, we would have been where we are now before the year 2000. And that's a frightening thing. We're running out of time, and I got a couple of clips I really want to get in. They're repeats, but they're very important. I want people to listen. Please listen to the first part of this show. It's part one. It's on the Tex and Rex show page. We did it last Thursday. This is part two. We're going to do part three next Thursday. We're doing this all throughout September because that's what Don't Fund It is about. On the clock right now on don'tfundit.com, 18 days, 0 hours, 1,281,982 signatures. We need that number to be 3 million, and we need it sooner than later. So go there, don'tfundit.com, don'tfundobamacare.com, hashtag on Twitter, don'tfundit. Get people to sign, get people to go. Go to our show page on Blog Talk Radio and also on Facebook. Go to Coalition of Freedom. I mean, we got a healthcare thread there that just has a bunch of articles and information and discussion about this thing on Facebook, Coalition of Freedom. That's Chris's group. It's really important. But listen to the first part of the show and get it out there. Tweet it to people. Share it. If you see our page out there, you know, our clip, a picture, something, I tried to put some vital information in there. If you click on the picture, I have links to articles and clips and all sorts of stuff that's vital information to support these issues. And, you know, I see a lot of you like our picks and the show. Could you hit the other button too? You know, there's like a like button and there's a share button. Just hit the share button, please, and get it out there. And if you're on GretaWire, Fox News, The Washington Post, The Huffington Post, I don't care where you are out there, just, you know, tell people to give it a listen. Maybe they don't like it. You know, you don't have to endorse everything that we say or our style or my foul language when I get upset. But you simply say, give it a shot. There might be something in here that's worth looking at. You don't have to endorse it. You just have to say it's worth listening to. At minimum, it's somewhat mildly entertaining sometimes, I hope. Anyway, listen to Newt Gingrich. Follow his example. Because what's going on right now is Ted Cruz is leading a Gingrich-esque type revolution for a real conservative comeback, to go to the Constitution, to go back to the right. Remember, Newt referenced Coolidge, right? That was the last time, 1924, that race between Coolidge and Davis was the last time in American history, after flirtation with progressivism in the early part of the century, that was the last time both parties, Democrats and Republicans, ran conservative candidates. Yes, the Democrats ran a conservative candidate. Since then, they've drifted further and further left, so far to the left, in fact, that they wouldn't welcome JFK in their party today. And, in fact, I'm not so sure that he isn't too conservative for the Republicans. That's how far left we've got.
It's pretty scary.
It's frightening. Here's a minute and a half, Newt, again, explaining the bold change in 94.
Let us resolve to make our government a place for what Franklin Roosevelt called bold, persistent experimentation.
This change of direction led to the Republican Revolution of 1994.
1994 was a reaction to Bill Clinton's first 2 years in office when he became president. Instead of acting the moderate that he had campaigned as, he was very radical in his policies, So the Republicans under Newt Gingrich came up with very specific policy-oriented solutions to some of the most pressing problems that we were facing as a nation. And as a result, they swept into office. Republicans took over Congress.
In 1994, the Republicans came together with a very positive program called the Contract with America, which included balancing the budget, reforming welfare, cutting taxes, fundamentally reforming the federal government. When I was Speaker, we controlled federal spending. We reformed welfare. We reformed Medicare. We cut spending and cut out waste in government. The result was, in the 4 years I was Speaker, federal spending went up annually by 2.9% a year, including all the entitlements, 2.9% a year. It's the lowest rate of increase since Calvin Coolidge in the 1920s. Because we controlled spending, we got to a balanced budget. We paid off $405 billion in federal debt over 4 years while cutting taxes, because we controlled spending.
There it is again, spending, right, Chris?
Pretty basic. I mean, it's just common sense. It just blows me away sometimes when I think how simple this stuff is.
Real quick, folks, we got 4 minutes of live show left. So if you're listening live right now and you want to continue to listen as Chris and I wrap up, because we're really not going much longer, you got to call in 646-649-1013. That's 646-649-1013. I'm afraid I don't have time to take calls because we are trying to wrap up. But if you want to listen live, you got to call in the next 3 minutes. If you're listening in an archive or podcast or MP3, just keep on rolling, and we'll wrap it up pretty soon. But yeah, Chris, I mean, control spending, right? That's key. It's critical. It's how you run a household, right? It's how you run a business. What makes us think government's any different? The rules of economics don't apply.
There's days I just don't get it. And the only thing I can think of is that these idiots in charge are, willing to let it crash and burn so they can install a new system. I don't know. I don't know. I've never seen it this bad. I've seen it bad many times, but it always seemed like both sides of the aisle were, trying to solve it to some degree. This is the first time that I've seen both sides of the aisle, coming up on another $1 trillion in debt and not even have a discussion. That's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's collusion to the nth degree of corporatist status that'll do anything to further their position, their agenda, or whoever's, paying them. But the people are waking up more than I've ever seen. I mean, it's worse than you've ever seen, but, isn't that the truth of humanity? I mean, we never really realize what we've got till it's gone. We never really realize how far we've let things go until we hit rock bottom. I mean, every addict I know, had to have a near-death experience or some kind of, violent accident or massive arrest or jail term or something before they were like, holy crap, shooting this crap up my nose or in my veins. It's not good for me. I need help, and it's always I need help. It's not like, well, I'm just going to quit. I need help. That's been time and time again. I've seen it so many times. And that's adversity builds character. And the fact is that I think things have gotten so bad, the lie has gotten so big that people are starting to say, whoa, maybe things aren't as normal as I thought they were. Maybe things, are a little crazy. And instead of getting nervous.
This can't be happening, man. This isn't happening.
you pick yourself up and you do something about it. And that's something that you do, is find those who can help you. Those who can lead you out of that mess. And we've got some champions, Chris. I mean, we've got Ted Cruz. I mean, the guy's bold, and he speaks clearly, and he tells you what he's going to do, and then he goes and does it. Rand Paul. I mean, this guy spoke for 13 hours defending your Fourth and Fifth Amendment. It was the most compelling thing on C-SPAN since Newt Gingrich's Conservative Opportunity Society. It was fantastic, but why? Because they're not making this shit up. They're speaking the truth, and they're doing it well. And people are beginning to listen. Look, the Huffington Post is noticing that, Rand Paul and Ted Cruz, some conscientious liberals are starting to say, well, you know what, these guys are actually onto something.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and the thing too, you know, one of the things I like about Rand is that he's unshakable. He's always very calm, and he speaks what he believes. He knows what he believes. He defends it. He articulates himself. If he gets into a situation where people are attacking him, you know, he's steady as a rock, and I like that a lot. Ted, he's got his own style, very articulate, you know, great master of the English language, you know, definitely I call him Shakespeare, but it's the same thing, you know, to see these guys stand up continually. I mean, people are giving them airtime, even if both sides of the aisle are beating on them. I think people are hearing the truth, and they know they're hearing the truth. You know, that's an important distinction in this whole thing. I mean, why do you and I do and Tex do what we do every freaking day? You know,
not for the money.
You know, when I first trust me. When I first built a group, it was because nobody was staying on target. You know, the whole concept of groups was, you know, it was just this posting, you know, news of the day and beat up on Obama every day and rah, rah, rah. And I'm like going, I don't want to have that discussion because it means nothing. It'll take us nowhere. I want to have real discussions about real things that matter, that are important. You know, pick a topic, stay on it, educate people. You know, it's a lot of work. And I probably had my group for 2 months before I launched it, you know, vacillating back and forth every day going, do I even want to do this crap? And I think that when you find sources, whether it be the people in Congress or what you know, Tex and Rex show or what I'm doing with the group or whatever the case may be, when you find people who will stay on task, you know, use common sense, do good research, you know, back up their arguments and those kind of things, you need to bind to those people. You know, that is so important because there's so much noise out there. There's so much turmoil. There's so much confusion. There's so much anger and fear and all these things going on. You know, the worst thing you can do is shut off. You have to stay involved. You know,
and get others involved. Yeah, and get others involved. You know, that's the key, Chris, is get others involved. I mean, look, you got some champions up there, right? But they can't do it. They don't have the numbers of votes, and they don't have the money and clout and the embedded power in Washington. They're wielding a lot of power, even though they're brand spanking new, because they're talking directly to the people, and the people are fed up with the lies. But out here, you like Chris said, meet up, lock arms, form a phalanx, and send a tsunami, grassroots tsunami towards D.C., letting these people know we're behind Rand Paul and Ted Cruz. And look, you don't have to agree with everything Ted Cruz does or Rand Paul says. You know, now that, you know, they're trying to paint him as a racist. Oh, he likes Jesse Helms, and his campaign director wears a Dixie mask. He's a racist bastard. You know, being for states' rights does not make you a racist. It makes you an American. That's what the Founding Fathers set up. Now, were they racist? Some of them were. Some of them owned slaves. It's horrible. It sucks. These are the facts. We've also put Japanese people in internment camps and some Germans and Italians. We've used chemical weapons. We've committed genocide against the American Indians. We've done some terrible things. And so has everybody else on the planet. What makes us exceptional is we'll own up and admit to our mistakes. And we'll correct them going forward. Okay, that's what makes us exceptional. We'll say, you know what, I'm sorry I did that. That really sucked. You know, separate but equal, that was bullshit. We should have never done that, but we did. It sucks. Let's get beyond it. And let's work together on the future. You know, American Indians now have reservations. They have casinos. They're doing well. Does that excuse the fact that there was a genocide? No, it's a horrible thing that happened. Okay? But you can't change the past. You can only repent for it and move forward. And that's what we do. And so we can't change the fact that they shoved Obamacare down our throat, but we can change the fact that we're not going to pay for it. And then we can change the game going forward by supporting these guys because it's going to create that conservative revolution similar to what happened in 94 and 95. And it's going to create a wave where we can get back to the Constitution, get beyond this false left-right paradigm, where maybe we can have real constitutionalists in both the Democrat and Republican Party, and they can fight about particular issues, as opposed to fighting about, is this country a republic or are we going to become corporate slaves? That's not a discussion I want to have. I don't want to be a corporate slave. I mean, government is not designed to be my master. It's designed to be my servant and yours too. And that's the thing to remember, you know. If you're trying to smuggle something,
so does this happen a lot?
You got to watch out.
Government commandeering your ship, telling you where to go?
That's what governments are for, getting in a man's way.
That's what governments are for, getting in a man's way. Well, you know what? Government is necessary, and our government is good. Not the people in it, not the way it's being run now, but the government that our founding fathers gave us is a good government. But it's not operating that way. It's just getting in our way. And it's about to get in the way between you and your job, you and your money, you and your doctor. That is extremely dangerous. If they control your money, your mobility, and your health, you, my friend, are not free. You're a corporate slave. Now, I don't care what party you're in, what your skin color is, what your religion is. You're a corporate slave to all of these bastards. The only way out of it is a continuing resolution without funding Obamacare and no war in Syria. The welfare warfare state has to be brought to its knees, and God might have given us this opportunity with Barack Obama. He might be the incompetent one who goes a bridge too far and people realize what happened. And for all you Obama apologists out there, look, you might have voted for him twice, campaigned for him, given him money, bought the hope he changed you bullshit, and you're very disillusioned right now. We'll forgive you. We'll forgive you. Just realize that he's not who you thought he was, and he's not your friend, and he's not a liberal progressive. He's a Marxist corporatist Keynesian domestically, and he's operating a Saudi Muslim Brotherhood foreign policy internationally. That's not good for America, no matter where you fall in the political divide. So you voted for him, you liked him, you supported him. It's over. He's not who you thought he was, so just shout out to him.
How about new, you crazy Dutch bastard?
And then call little Eric Cantnot, little Eric Cantor, 202-225-2815, and tell him you're on to his sneaky little friggin' trick, and tell him no CR, no Obamacare, call Boehner, you know, that alcohol-soaked, over-tanned piece of beef jerky, 202-225-0600, and tell him the same thing you tell Obama.
How about new, you crazy Dutch bastard?
I just Austin Powers is just, if you haven't seen it in a while, just why, it's freaking, Mike Myers is great. But, you know, no, okay, no Obamacare, no continuing resolution. Chris, give me your final thoughts on why this bold move of using the continuing resolution to stop Obamacare at the risk of a government shutdown is the right thing, not only for the Republican Party and conservatives in the Republican Party, but for the country. And that'll be your final thought, and then I'll do mine, and we'll play a couple of clips and go home.
Well, I think the key thing to understand, number one, is that government shutdown is not what people portray it as, number one. Number two, I really believe that the Democrats, as well as those on the right and the Republicans, know that Obamacare is a disaster. And it's, I don't know what game they're playing. I don't know what fears they have to keep people, you know, that are, to keep the Republicans from acting on this. I don't understand it. I really don't. It just makes all sense in the world that this thing has fallen apart at the seams, has been, we knew it would, but all the proof is out there and people aren't acting on it, which is some strategy of fear, I don't know. But keep the pressure on 110%, because in 2014, you know, whatever happens between now and 2014 is what will define 2014. And 2014 is a major, major, major important issue in this country, because it is going to define what happens between 2014 and 2016. You know, so don't get caught up in 2016. You know, that's yet to define itself. But right now, you know, you need to fight on every front, on every major issue, whether it's Obamacare or Syria or whatever, and say no, and say no, and keep saying no, and get other people to join you in that conversation of saying no, that we're not, this is not the direction we want to go, and it's not acceptable, and we're not going to allow it to happen. It's just basic right there. I'm done.
If you want to have these kinds of intense conversations that Chris is talking about and you want to figure out where you're going and what you're going to do, get on Coalition of Freedom on Facebook. All right, it's not a news of the day site. Chris has these big block pictures of hot topics, whether it's Syria, the G20, financial collapse, whatever it is, and everybody posts the related articles in there. And then we have discussions about what it means, looking at multiple sources. If you're looking for the truth about Syria, you're not going to get it from Russia Today or Press TV or Fox News. But if you take all three of them, you might be able to triangulate the truth, you know? And so that's what we do there. And it's very important because you got to know what's happening, because if you don't know what's happening, you don't know how to take action to correct it. If you think that the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, is actually about reforming health care and providing people who don't have health care with health care, then, you know, you're falling for the lie, because that's a nice story. Nobody would argue that those are good things, and we all want that. But then when you look at the other side of the coin, you find out, first of all, it doesn't provide health care, medical care, or insurance reform. And it costs a shitload of money that will crash the economy, and it's costing people their jobs already. And who's affected the most? People in the service industry. Why? Because in the service industry, the employer's biggest expense is payroll. And when you stick these Obamacare regulations on top of it, with the compliance burden of actually figuring out how it works and how to file it and the navigation of the exchanges and all that kind of stuff, it's so expensive that they can't afford to operate. And so what happens is you have to cut payroll. So what do to cut payroll? You cut people's hours, you cut their benefits, or you cut them out of a job. That's what this thing does. So it actually eliminates –